Last week, Sunday, if you were here, but also especially if you weren't here, just to give you a little bit of update of where we are, we started a new series of messages called What Smartphone Would Jesus Buy? And we're trying to think about technology, phones, computers, tablets, all kinds of technology from a Christian point of view. So how should we as Christians think about all this technology? And I was thankful for some response last Sunday. For me, when people respond in the message, maybe it's a little bit disconcerting sometimes for some of us, but I'm always thinking at least someone's listening. At least someone's listening to the message, and I appreciate the comments that were made. I know that my message last week basically trying to start by saying cell phones are good, technology is good. I sense it was maybe a little bit controversial for some people. Which I can understand, but I'm going to stick with what I said last week. So I know there was a comment, a very good comment in the service. I know there were some gentlemen after the service as well in the fellowship room. I heard they were kind of having some discussion, you know, and they maybe weren't all in agreement with what I said, but I'm going to stick with what I said because I think it's the place to begin. So there's lots more to say. There's lots more to say. But for me, the place to begin is to begin with the creation is good and technology is good. And I'm going to make a bit of a parallel between what we say first about technology is also the first thing I want to say about human beings. Now, oftentimes, my understanding of Christian presentations of the Christian faith or of Jesus oftentimes begin with the statement, human beings are sinful. They do bad things. You know, they do wrong things, which is all true. But I think, as I'm reading the Bible, that's not where the Bible begins. The Bible begins with the claim that human beings are made in the image of God. So there's way more to say about humanity than we're made in the image of God. We have to talk about sin and doing wrong things and being saved from all of that, yes. But I think the place to begin is in the creation, in the goodness of creation as God makes male and female in His image. Because if we don't start there, if we start by saying humans are sinful, and in parallel, technology is bad, then I fear that we get a message that says, humans are sinful, God just wants to rescue us from the sinful world, and from our sinful bodies, and from our sinful minds. But if we start with humans made in the image of God, and we keep reading through the Bible, we realize God wants to rescue us, but He wants to restore us to the image of God that was lost in the beginning. And I think same with technology. There's bad things that happen with technology. There's things we have to talk about. But if we don't start with technology being good, we might just think, oh, God just wants to save us from it instead of trying to redeem or renew our use of the technology He's given to us. So I want to talk a bit about, at least I consider one of the drawbacks of technology this morning, but I want to keep that first message from last week in the background as we go through this morning, but also the rest of the series. So I'm going to invite Blaine to come up and read from 2 John, the whole book this morning, 2 John. Just before he reads, I'm going to pray, and then Blaine, if you would read 2 John for us. So let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your word, and we're thankful for this little book in the Bible. As Blaine reads it for us and to us, may we hear it. And as we reflect on it, O Lord, may we also hear what you're saying to us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
The Elder, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands, and as you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk to you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your chosen sister send their greetings. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So what is 2 John? It's a whole book of the Bible, but it's a pretty short book of the Bible. What is 2 John? A letter. Okay, good. What else? A letter. Book. A small book, but one of the books in the Bible. It's a means of communication. I'm going to suggest it's also a piece of technology. That 2 John is a piece of technology. Now, that might seem kind of crazy. Might seem like that definition of technology gets us way too big. But if it's true, and I think it's true, then I want to suggest it's not just us in the 21st century who have to deal with the implications of technology, but people throughout human history have had to deal with it and think about it. So how does this piece of technology work in our lives? Is it helpful or is it harmful? And I'm picking up this idea of technology from a guy named Marshall McLuhan. He was quoted in this book I've been reading recently about 12 ways your cell phone is changing you. And he said that technology is always an extension of the self. Technology is always an extension of the self. It's not me, but it's me in some ways extending myself either to do something or to communicate myself to someone or a number of people. So with this understanding of technology, and I'm going with this understanding this morning, we could talk about whether you agree or not later on, but all kinds of things fall under technology, including, of course, computers, cell phones, tablets, but also I would suggest things like fax machines. Anybody remember fax machines? And books, and certainly the texting we do and emailing, but also letters. This letter of 2 John is really an extension of the author as he's trying to connect with these people he's writing to. But as we read the letter, and there's much in the letter that we could pick up this morning, but I just want to pick up one of the final verses in the letter. For me, it's so important for us to hear this. He's not against the letter. Of course, he's using the letter to communicate. I think he would say, I love this means of communication. And I'm sure some of you picked it up at the end there, but he says in the 12th verse, I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. And so the structure of thought here is, I'm writing you. I assume he likes to write people. It was one of the ways. I mean, people also in the first century were writing letters, communicating. And there's some things in here that I hope you hear and read. But I really want more. Right? I want more than the letter. I want more than this piece of technology between us. I want to see you face to face so that our joy will be complete and fulfilled. And he says this also in the next letter he writes from 3 John. Right at the end of the letter, it's the same kind of idea. I have much to write you. I don't want to use pen and ink. I hope to see you soon so that we can talk face to face. And I think this is a longing for a lot of people. Even with all the technology we have, the videos are great, and the emails and texts are great, but I really want to see you. And so I'm going to spend a bunch of money to go fly or drive so that I can see you. Because the other modes of communication, the other modes of technology are wonderful. I'm so thankful for them. But I want more. I want more than just this piece of technology that's between us. And so as I was thinking about kind of face-to-face, this theme in 2 John and 3 John, I realize this is a theme deep in the Bible. The Bible speaks a lot about face-to-face contact. So we have a verse from Exodus chapter 33 where we're told that God, or the Lord, would speak to Moses face-to-face as one speaks to a friend. Now this seems to me, especially as you read the book of Exodus, the second book in the Bible, this is the goal of relationship with God. So the priest can help me sometimes, and maybe a prophet can help me sometimes, but that's not enough. Moses experiences, I think the Bible is trying to call us, this is what all of us are made for and are yearning for. This face-to-face, this friend-to-friend, this almost person-to-person contact. We also hear it, and some of you have heard these verses many times. Typically, at the end of our worship service, I usually give some words of blessing. And sometimes they are based on these words of blessing from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. Now, what's that going to look like? Well, the image is, the Lord make his face shine on you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And then one of the resources I was using to kind of think about these verses, they talked about, you know, there's the fallen face, maybe someone's angry at you. There's the hidden face or the turned away face. But here, God lifts up his face toward his people, and as he does that, and it's not the crabby face, right? This is not the image of God scowling at us. It is the smiling, the welcoming, the loving face of God. That's the blessing of God. And as his face shines upon us, the blessing talks about grace is going to come, and peace is going to come, and general well-being is going to come to God's people. And we also, you know, as I think about this theme in the Bible, I think also about the ministry of Jesus, who comes to show us God face to face. Now, I have the reference there is John 1:14. That's not a bad reference, but I should have used the reference that we read at the beginning of the service this morning from Colossians chapter 1, that Jesus is the image. He is the face of the invisible God. And Jesus himself says in John chapter 14, these are for me remarkable words, Philip, his disciple, said, "Show us the Father. Who is the Father?" And Jesus says, "Don't you know me, Philip? You've been with me for at least 3 years. Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father?" So Jesus also there is saying, if you've seen me, and I think he's talking about if you've seen me physically, but also seen my ministry, how I talk, how I heal, the miracles I do, eventually the death I will die, if you've seen me in my life, you have seen the Father. And I don't have a slide for this, but I was thinking also about this... this story in Mark chapter 5, where Jesus is on his way to heal a young girl. A synagogue ruler has come and said, "My daughter's dying. Come and heal her." And Jesus is on his way. There's a crowd around him, and there's a woman who's been sick. The Bible says been bleeding for many years. And her thought is, if I only just touch his clothes, I'm going to be healed. Now that's for me, that's a bunch of faith you need. I could see where she would say, well, if Jesus puts his hand on me, or if Jesus knocks me over, or if Jesus looks at me, then I'm going to, all I got to do is just touch his clothing. He doesn't even have to know I'm there. And miracle of miracles, she touches the clothing and she feels the healing in her body. And then Jesus, all these people around him, something happened. Maybe Peter was touching. You know, they're all walking together. Maybe he feels the disciples around him, but someone touched just his clothing with faith. And he says, someone touched me, and he stopped. Whoa, whoa. Who touched me? Now, why does he say that? Well, we know as the story goes, he's not trying to embarrass this woman. He's not trying to say, hey, everyone, someone touched me, and I just healed that person. I don't think he's trying to, you know, get on a pedestal. Hey, hey, I'm the miracle. I'm the miracle worker. I'm also thinking he doesn't want to be just a walking miracle machine. There's Jesus. Touch him. Touch him. Touch him. We can get healed. I think what he wants some connection. I think he wants, I want to suggest, some face-to-face connection or communication with this woman. So she comes, the Bible tells us, she comes trembling. Fell at his feet, trembling in fear, told him the whole truth, what had happened. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." And I was wondering, as I was reading that, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm wondering, she's kneeling at Jesus' feet. She's kind of maybe groveling there, telling Jesus, "Oh, this is what happened to me, and I touched your God." Blah, blah, blah. Does Jesus stay standing over her and say, "Daughter, your faith has healed you"? Maybe. Or does he get down, maybe on his knees, and look her in the face? I don't know. All I know is that Jesus is not about anonymous healing. He wants to know this woman, and I think he wants the woman to know him. He stops on this important errand, this important healing mission, to spend time with this woman. And as I think about that, I'm thinking this is what Jesus is longing to do for all of us. To see the face of God in the ministry of Jesus. And this is where the whole Bible is actually heading. In the very last chapter of the Bible, we have this vision of the future. Revelation 22, the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, this new Jerusalem. His servants are going to serve him in the new Jerusalem. And then it says, they will see his face. They're going to see the face of God in the new Jerusalem, and his name will be on their foreheads. So the whole of history, or the whole of what Jesus is doing, is to have people see God face to face. So this morning I'm suggesting that technology can be great, but it's not primary. It's not ultimate. It's secondary or penultimate. It's never the final thing, right? This face-to-face contact is the ultimate thing that we're longing for, both with each other, but also even with God himself. And what I'm doing this morning, of course, I said last week, there is no verse in the Bible that talks about cell phones. Right? There is no verse like that. But what I'm trying to do is I'm saying there is a theme in the Bible, an invitation for face-to-face relationship, face-to-face interaction with people and with God. And when I see what technology is doing to us, I say this general theme is calling us in a different direction. So, you know, maybe you have this. And this is what's going on in our home lately. I'm not going to say the names of people, but this is what happens in our house. Breakfast time. It used to be like this at breakfast time. Hey, how are you? Good morning. How are you doing? How was your sleep? You know, what's happening today? Munch, munch, munch. Talk, talk, talk. That's not happening anymore. This is what's happening. Cereal, milk, sit down. Good morning. Maybe it's not happening for you, but this is what's happening in our household. And I'm trying to think, I don't just want to tell people, put that phone away. I do want to say that, but I notice what's happening, even sometimes with me, right? The phone, the technology starts taking precedence. It becomes more important than the face-to-face contact. Now, again, don't hear me say, throw the phone away, throw the technology away. We just have to realize what's going on in our lives. That some of us maybe want to look at our screens more than the face of a spouse or a child or a friend. And for me, if that's happening in our lives, that's scary. That's leading us in a, what I would call an unhuman or inhumane direction as human beings. So even though, you know, at Nelson Avenue, we try and do a few things with technology. You know, we have a Facebook page, and we're trying kind of stuttering steps to have some maybe video announcements. We'll see how that goes. I'm hopeful that those things never become the thing, right? Those are always means to call and invite people into face-to-face relationships. I just want to, the second last thing I'm going to say this morning, well, I brought a few props this morning. I got my phone, but I also have a few other things. So as I'm getting this message ready, I was so, kind of amazed at what God was doing in my life otherwise. I was reading a book by C.S. Lewis called Till We Have Faces. Faces. Now, why am I reading that book as I'm getting ready for this message? I can't tell the whole story. It's kind of a tough story to read. But at the end, we find out that the main character spends much of her life with a veil over her face because people think she's ugly. And we find out at the end of the book that as she comes face to face with who she really is, not the pretend person, I'm so good, I'm so great, but as she comes face to face with who she is, she can come face to face with the gods or the God in this story. So I found that interesting that even, yeah, I mean, certainly the title gives it away a little bit, but this story is leading to a face-to-face encounter between this character and the God in this story. I haven't started reading this very much, but a book by Jimmy Carter, 39th President of the United States, A Full Life. I just love the cover. I just brought to show you the cover. There's Jimmy Carter. I think he's 93. And he has lived a full life. I haven't read the whole book yet, but my understanding of who he is. And I just thought, I know we can't do this because it'd just be impossible to do, but I'm thinking, when I saw this book, I partly picked it up because of the picture. Because my sense was, if I read this book, I'm going to get to know this man, this person, his face. And I thought, now we can't do it, I know, but wouldn't it be great to have Bibles that have the face of Jesus on it? So you would always know when you pick up the Bible, what the Bible's trying to do is introduce you to the face, to the person of Jesus. Not some idea, not some philosophy, not some religion, but a person with a face who is the face of God. And then just one final book I just came across. is a book by a Canadian author. Her name is Susan Pinker, and she wrote a book recently called The Village Effect: How Face-to-Face Contact Can Make Us Healthier and Happier. And as she goes through her book, Things I Read Online, she found out that people who use Facebook, the more people use Facebook, the less healthy they are, the less satisfied with their lives they are. To put it baldly, the more times you click like, the worse you feel. Now, she's not a Christian author, as far as I know. She's just doing some research and finding out. Now, I love the name Facebook. Like, Facebook. I think it's trying to do something. It's trying to give you that sense of face-to-face connection. But technology can never do that fully. She also found out, and this is what she found in her research, that as she was working on her book, she discovered that women who had expanded, complex, in-person, kind of face-to-face social networks experienced less dementia. She also talked about breast cancer studies where women who had networks of friends, and I'm again assuming face-to-face contacts, are four times as likely to survive as those with sparser social connections. She said that studies are showing that as our internet use goes up, our levels of happiness have gone down. And I think that's because, you know, the technology is something so exciting, but also I think sometimes, I think in sinful ways, in my life, maybe in your life, we hide behind the technology. You know, we could talk face to face, we could meet face to face, but let me just hide behind the technology instead of engaging you face to face. And you know, if others of you kind of say, that might be true for me, again, it's not throw it out, but just to acknowledge what's happening in our lives. Now, one final thing before I'm done. Yesterday, I was talking to Petra. We were at the same wedding together, and I heard Petra say, and I hope it's what you said, but this is what I heard you say. I said, she said, Petra's been here for a number of weeks, connecting with our church, connecting with other churches in Canada and the U.S., she's leaving on Wednesday for Hamilton and then eventually for North Africa the following week. And I heard Peter say, you know, I like to send the monthly updates on my ministry and what I'm doing, but I really need and value the face-to-face contact with the church, right? So we could just keep emailing back and forth and you send the newsletters, but when she comes and she's here, face-to-face, something happens. So I want to acknowledge that, and then I want to pray with you, Petra, and for you before you leave. So I'm going to invite you to come up and just thank you that, again, you're here this morning. We get to see you face-to-face. If you want to just say any kind of final words before you leave.
I was here on Iraq on 28th of May. Gave you a little update of what I've been doing in North Africa, and then did my tour, visiting different churches, different areas. So 8,000 kilometers later, here I am again. So, like Pastor Yo said, on Wednesday I'm flying out to Hamilton, and then on the 19th go back to North Africa. But yes, this face-to-face contact, it always... energizes me, and it's so great to see everybody.
Mm. Yeah. So I'm thankful you said that yesterday, because it reinforced in my mind why we do this, right? Why we even invite people to the front, face to face, so you can see Petra or others that we pray for. So I'm going to invite some of us to gather around Petra. We're going to thank God for her, and especially as she returns to her ministry in North Africa, that the Lord would go with her. And Peter, you have an amazing ministry of face-to-face relationships. So that's the thing I think about Petra. Lots of contact with people, lots of coffees, lots of talking. So let's pray for her that those face-to-face encounters with those in North Africa would produce fruit in the gospel. So Father, thank you for Petra. Thank you, Lord, that we can see her face-to-face and we can even put out a hand And as we put out a hand on her, Lord, it is like your blessing coming upon her. Thank you, Lord, for her ministry. Thank you, Lord, that she's faithful in the ministry, that she perseveres in the ministry. And as she goes, oh Lord, back to North Africa, may she go with your blessing, your grace, your face shining upon her, oh Lord. May she know that you are with her every step of the way. May her ministry increase and flourish. May she have more connections with those in her community. And may those connections, Lord, give gospel opportunities for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, the one who is in the image of God, in the face of God. Thank you for her. Thank you for this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.